We watched a very depressing movie, okay. Everything Must Go.
Why does that sound familiar?
It's a Will Ferrell movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if I saw it or if I just remember about it.
You see Will Ferrell get kicked out of his house?
I don't think I saw it.
Yeah.
You see Will Ferrell destroy his life by being a dick?
Yeah, by being an alcoholic and an asshole.
I don't know, I have not seen that. I have heard of it.
To literally everyone. Even the nice kid that's helping him out. But then he gives all his neighbors good presents.
Is part of the everything all of his
leaving
bad
him?
What?
Leaving them? Is that his is that his present?
No. I'm okay.
Well, I don't know. He gives his porn collection to some of his neighbors that he found out likes to have crazy sex.
It gives him Playboys, like the weird crazy sex that they have, like compared Playboy, like
this is bathroom material.
That's like how I used to get people knew that I collected comic books, so I would get like, here's some Archies that I got at the grocery store. Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, great. Those are definitely comic books.
Well,
oh man, that sucks. Yeah.
I finally had to tell people stop.
Stop
giving me comic books.
Because
I've got a pull list. It's fine. I just buy my
anything
own.
Anything you get will not be
It's okay. I just buy my own every week. It's fine.
I've experienced that from family members. They're like, oh, you like racing. You must like these racing games. I don't. Stop buying them for me.
Mm.
So it's just like, there were like two series of racing games that I've been following. I promise you I get them at midnight releases when they come out.
Yep.
We're good. I don't. But they would constantly buy me these fucking racing games. Like, somebody bought me Grid.
Mm.
So, like, I tried to install it. I'm like, this game is fucking bullshit. Uninstalled it from the PS3, never put it back in.
Mm.
Ugh.
That is, like, first world problems.
Yeah.
My family keeps buying me video games for my PlayStation 3. So annoying.
Would anybody like a copy? I don't even know if I have a copy of Grid still. I might have given it away by now.
I like the idea of racing games more than I like racing games.
The problem with the racing game is you get no physical feedback.
Yeah.
So you're like in Gran Turismo, you're like, I don't know how hard I'm steering, I don't know how hard I'm pressing on this gas pedal. Like,
right.
So like I'm either not going around the corner or I'm fucking looping out. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I need something to feel. So like arcade style racing games are generally more my jam because they're much more forgiving.
Mm.
Like the Need for Speed games were a lot of fun. Well, for a while.
Yes, sir.
This is a lot of playful banter for this heavy movie we are about to review.
We need some lightness before the dark.
We literally just watched it right before we came over here, so I'm still like...
So, work has sucked for me, and I haven't
released... Yeah, you were super busy last week.
And this week.
Oh, yeah.
Not as busy, but last week was god-awful. But I started doing some figuring, and if I can get this week's episode released, which was supposed to be released like 2 days ago, that's Clerks. So then we only have two left in the can after that, other than tonight's episode. Yeah, and then we have this. It works out that...
Wait, we recorded another episode in there, though.
No,
we
didn't.
No, we didn't.
No,
we recorded...
Clerks,
we recorded
Chasing Amy.
We were going to record Clerks, but we... did Deadpool.
Oh, that's right. Okay, we got one before.
Yeah, we switched
Deadpool's
up.
Been released.
Yeah, Deadpool is out. That's the one that's the newest episode until I release this one. It'll probably just be later. Then if I get back on track on the 30th of April, which is a Saturday, it's the 10th anniversary of a release. That will be two episodes from now. By recording. Mm-hmm. So we have tonight and then two more. That second one will be the 10th anniversary of release episode.
Now that my laptop is somewhat up and running, would some notes, show notes help?
Yeah. If you want to do that, that'd be great.
All right.
So what now?
Show notes.
Man.
We used to do...
Do you want me to go back to the...
If you want, do whatever
format.
You want. Do whatever you want.
I still don't know what
show
it
notes. detailed descriptions of what we're talking about as opposed to my little one paragraph.
I like what you've been doing.
Basically,
I liked the Kung Fury one.
I had fun with that one.
I could not have done that.
There are times when I get bored.
Yeah.
That was one of those times where it's like I wanted to do something other than work.
Right. So don't read these out loud, but I love looking at the notes in my phone and remembering projects that I've half started.
Yeah. Love it. Those are some amazing properties that you have there. I'm assuming you have the websites already, the URLs already locked down for this.
It's for a personal project, but yeah. No? You don't like it?
What is that for?
It's for a blog I want to set up.
Oh, right. The one that we already talked about.
Yeah, the one that I'm not sure if I'm going to do. I would like to do it, okay. But I don't know.
So, we need movies.
Didn't we have one next? We had one set up after.
Did we?
American History.
We did?
I don't remember.
I can't remember what it was. We were looking through that list of movies.
Oh, yeah. We looked at the big list of movies.
Oh, I recommended Hard Candy. Which is another kind of heavy movie.
I even checked, like, what Patty Duke had done to see if it was anything we would do. I know.
This reminds me of another.
We could do the Miracle Worker.
Of another conversation that I wanted to bring up.
The only thing I was like Valley of the Dolls, but I've not seen it, so I don't really know.
I can't remember the last time I was able to watch a show because it was on Netflix.
What's
Netflix? Like any show, Netflix is like hemorrhaging properties or something.
What do you mean?
They have less properties now than they had. They have less titles now than they did 5 years ago.
Yeah, they cycle stuff in and out, but they've.
But like, I'm at the point now where every time I want to watch something, I'm like, is it on Netflix? No? All right, I have to stream it through Google Play. So like, I'm just spending like $8 a month on Netflix, and I am not using it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm wondering if this is going to turn it around, or...
We are using a shit ton of Netflix. 99% of our usage is Erin.
Yeah.
Because she's got a lot of the Disney Channel shows and some of those other kids shows. That she watches all the time.
I have Hulu and I have Google Red now, or YouTube Red.
Oh yeah,
I got YouTube Red because of the Google Play Music thing. I'm on a free trial for it, which is fucking awesome.
Nice.
Anyway,
I was not in the mood for TV last night to like fully give attention to TV. So while I was just playing on my tablet, I had 2.5 hours of Fuller House going on Netflix. I watched the first one, so it's like I just have to put it on as background noise because I need it. It is absolute crap.
See, I'm at the point now where I get like 2 hours of content a day from YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And then like to stack something else on top of it. Like when I got home, I didn't watch what I normally watch each evening at this point because I had to watch this movie. So like now I'm at the point where like I have too much content.
Understood.
We have like 150 items on our DVR right now.
That's a lot.
I've got a bunch of, like, I look and see what's on HBO every Saturday night when they run something new, just to see if it's something I haven't seen or want to see. So, I got quite a bit there. I just haven't watched it yet.
And also with the fucking elections going on, I've been watching a lot more because of that coverage. The Young Turks is covering it, so like that's just been running. Don't put it in my lap and try to take it away.
Oh, guess what? Hard Candy is included with Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm. That's a movie?
Yep.
Is it a movie based on the...
It's Hard Candy starring Ellen Page.
Oh, okay.
Young Ellen Page.
I'm thinking of something totally different. I don't know what I'm thinking of.
It's another heavy movie.
Just the description sounds like it. Mm-hmm. Wow.
What
does it say? A mature 14-year-old girl meets a charming 32-year-old photographer on the internet. Suspecting that he's a pedophile, she goes to his home in an attempt to expose him.
Oh my. That does sound interesting.
Mm.
I have a different description, but it's pretty close to that.
That was the one on Amazon Prime.
We have Prime.
It's even heavier than the description makes it out to be, so...
It's a good weird movie. Because the cover
we will decide if it's a good movie.
The cover's like Little Red Riding Hood standing on a bear trap.
Yeah. That's weird.
It's pretty accurate.
Is it? I don't know. I've never seen the movie.
All right. So next week we'll do Hard Candy.
All right.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Alex.
This is Kayla.
And this is Lena.
And that's Panda. And we are the Bagsy Producers. Can I have Kylo Ren?
Oh, that is the best.
Oh my, I didn't even see what his that face. Was. No.
This beautiful Disney prince face.
Yeah. But it's just the mask. Just the mask. So, how's everybody doing?
How's it going?
Where the fuck is Pania?
We can't talk about it.
On air.
Yeah.
It's so, Tony's birthday, though.
It is my birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Stop there. We got copyright issues. We don't want
Feliz cumpleaños.
Well, actually, I don't actually say the word happy.
No.
So I
actually,
think I can...
didn't they strike that down?
Yeah, they lost that copyright.
They lost the copyright.
Yeah.
All right.
Man, that lost a butt ton of money for them.
It's sued. More like just happy.
It's Warner Brothers, right? I think it's Warner Brothers.
I thought it was Disney.
I don't think it was. I thought it was some other, like some little side company that had it.
Did you get a hi, you're old from Scott? Because I didn't look through all of them.
No, I did not. Not yet.
Slacker.
He's done that to me for the last couple of years. So
yeah, I know. I get them too. And it always makes me laugh.
Get down.
No.
Some guy at the
he
bar
smells the icing.
On my birthday, told me and Jesse that we're old. We
yeah,
said
but
we're 27.
That
he
guy
was much
like
older.
40.
He was nagging us.
Yeah.
Fuck
I'm
that
pretty
guy.
Sure he was gay, though.
No, I don't think so at all. I didn't I get know. That vibe at all.
I did. It was the bright purple coming off of him that got me.
What?
I was like, yeah.
Whose gaydar is stronger?
Do you remember when I was like, I got my new job, and I'm like 95% sure my boss is gay, and you're like, no, you're
you
reading
spend
into
a lot
too
of
much.
Time with your boss.
I'm like, my
no, I didn't say you're reading into it too much. I just said, don't just make assumptions.
Yeah. And then he was finally like,
you didn't have concrete evidence. All the evidence you had for your boss being gay also applied to you. We're going to put that out there.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
No denials.
No, your major thing was he doesn't have a picture of his partner in his cubicle.
Yeah.
You don't have a picture of your partner in your cubicle.
You don't let me take pictures.
I have a picture
of
Kayla at my desk. I don't know why you don't.
Yeah, there are plenty of pictures of me online.
Right now.
No, what do you...
There's
You're
gonna be,
so obnoxious.
There's going to be a picture on Alex's desk of Kayla doing this.
My love.
All right, well...
In conclusion, Alex might be gay.
It's inconclusive. We have no way to prove
it. No, don't. Do not start this. Do not start this.
Is that me?
It wasn't me. My phone doesn't make that sound when its battery is dying.
I was like, I could have, like, my phone was totally charged
up. Yeah, all the Samsungs do.
Yeah. Warner Brothers and Chapel Music.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. They just made a butt ton of money this past weekend. They're fine.
None what? Oh, their Superman versus Batman thing?
Yeah.
I still have to see that.
I thought you were going.
Didn't get out of work and I missed it the second time. And since I got it through Fandango. And then when I changed it, they give you a credit, which I could use to get the next ticket. But you can't refund something that they used a credit for, so.
Oh, that sucks.
So, they've already got my money. So, I gotta buy another ticket, but that's... Work has been getting insane at 4:45 every night, which is pissing me off.
Oh, yeah, you gotta get out of there before that.
It's better than...
Well, I close, so I can't even... Like, Monday,
I try to get out by 4:30, that way if something catches fire at, like, 4:50, I'm not there. Yeah.
I mean, because basically by 4 o'clock, sometimes by 3:30, but by 4 o'clock, it's just me and the two mechanics in the shop. So, in essence, I'm alone.
Mm.
And Monday, I have to leave early for a doctor's appointment. So, I'm trying to figure this out with Steve because I need to make up the time so I don't have to use vacation time.
See, Your problem is that people know who you are. At my job, there's only like 7 people who really know who I am and what I do. And they all leave early.
See, people know who I am and what I do, but they've been trained to go through my boss to get to me. And like, he's awesome. Like, so I don't have to worry about most things.
I take care of like 130,000 end users. Almost none of them know who I am. It's beautiful.
That's a good way to be. Yeah. That is a good way to be.
Once they started their crackdown on overtime, my cohort was working like 10 and a half, 11 hours a day. So they cut that out. So he leaves at 3:30. I'm there until 5. So now I'm the only one there who closes. So I'm still trying to figure out. I mean, I'm going to the doctor Monday. That's all there is to it. But
that's Oogie Boogie, isn't it?
It is Oogie Boogie.
Respect.
That's guys.
Fantastic.
Who is Oogie Boogie?
Don't
stop it.
Don't even. Don't
the Nightmare
even.
Before Christmas.
Oh,
Mr.
Okay.
Oogie Boogie.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yet. Yet.
Yeah. Is this the rage that Adam feels?
Holy shit! Yes.
What rage are you feeling right now? What do you care about?
Of all the
Christmas?
Things that I haven't seen,
it's a great movie.
It is a fucking fantastic movie.
I didn't say it was horrible. I just haven't seen it yet. I went through a number of years span where I didn't have TV or cable or didn't go to the movies. I missed a lot.
So from like
this is like 20 years.
Yes. So from like 1991 until now.
You didn't see it in your dreams? It's like spontaneously. Like what the fuck?
I wish.
I'm surprised you haven't heard me just break out and sing it because I do that.
I have not heard you unless
Jack's song.
Since I am dead, I can take off my head to recite Shakespearean quotations.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do the whole movie in all the voices. Every one of them.
I think that song is called Jack's Lament. Is
no.
The title.
What
no,
have
not the one.
I done?
Not the one he was singing.
What have I done?
I don't
done?
Think so.
Is it Danny
yeah,
singing?
Jack's Lament.
Elfman?
Danny Elfman does.
He wrote all the music.
I know.
He also does all the. Him. He does all the singing for Jack's parts, but Chris Sarandon is the voice of the spoken Jack.
Oh, okay. I love Danny Elfman. I've been spit on by his band, in a good way.
Ew.
No, I was perfectly happy with that.
All right.
Band?
Oingo Boingo.
Oingo Boingo.
Who was featured in the movie Back to School.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear that Axl Rose is coming back to St. Louis?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Now, do you remember the Riverport riot?
I do. I vividly remember it. I wasn't there, but I had a lot of friends who were. And I know a guy who, if you watch the CNN reports the day after, you can clearly see him behind and in some of the footage picking up a row of chairs and flinging it. And it's like, oh, that's Mike. I know him. I played hockey with him. Yep. Yeah, I had friends who were there. And that happened.
No, it's not me either.
It isn't me. Somebody's devices.
Somebody left a phone down here and it's beeping.
Okay, that makes sense.
It might be Holden.
Okay.
He might have left his.
Because it was like my phone was fully charged.
Because Julie took hers upstairs. It's got to be his because he's got a Samsung also. But I went to the next concert at Riverport immediately after that. Like fresh chairs. There was still paint drying
fresh
on things.
Chairs.
Well, they had ripped.
It was like
I remember it on the news.
It was like $120,000 for the damage.
I don't,
So you've been to Riverport?
Yeah.
All right. Because what is it, Verizon now?
No, it's Hollywood Casino.
Oh, Hollywood Casino. Yeah, they've changed names like 8 times since then.
Yeah.
They ripped the chairs out of the ground. Mm-hmm. Like, out. They pulled the bolts up out of the concrete and, yep. and were
That's
flinging chairs.
Impressive.
Yeah. So I went to the show immediately after that. It was Warrant, Trickster, and Firehouse, if anybody remembers those names.
Not Firehouse, but
Warrant
the others.
Warrant sounds familiar.
Yeah. Warrant was the headliner of the tour. And the lead singer, like right at the beginning of their part of the show, comes out on stage, is holding this really nice camera, and tosses it out into the crowd. And says, "You take as many pictures as you want," because the riot started.
Yeah.
Because somebody was taking pictures, and Axl was like, "Get that guy! He's not supposed to take pictures." Security were like, whatever.
No.
And they wouldn't do anything about it. So he took it upon himself.
To jump down in the crowd and start wailing on people. Yep. Yeah. What a little bitch.
I had the opportunity to see Guns N' Roses, but I didn't. It was... Oh my gosh.
Might have been a good decision.
I could have gone to that concert.
It was...
I wish I would have.
Oh, God. Maybe. I think it was sometime in the late 80s. I don't even remember. But it was... And I don't know if it was... The band's called Live or Live.
Live.
They were the opener, then Metallica, then Guns N' Roses. Mm-hmm. I bought tickets for my brother and first wife to go with
solid.
Me. Yeah. Because it was at Foxborough Stadium, which is a bit of a hike.
So that was like 91 or 92.
Yeah. It's a bit of a hike.
Where those bands would have overlapped in popularity.
It's a long drive from Revere. It's where the Patriots play. So I bought tickets for my brother and his first wife, so I didn't have to go by myself. Half hour before it was time to go, they're like, oh, you don't want to go. Fine, I don't mind being out all that money. So I went there by myself. Crowd was fine for Live. Crowd was still pretty good for Metallica, which is who I really wanted to see, and it was awesome. And then for the 20 minutes between Metallica and Guns N' Roses, there was a decided change in the audience, and I was like, I'm just going to go home
That's when shit came good.
I'm by myself. I think I'm just going to go home now.
I was a big GNR fan.
I loved Guns N' Roses.
See, to me that means
like
Galaxy
News
Radio.
I loved Guns N' Roses growing up, but I hate Axl Rose. He's such
growing
a...
up.
Tool.
Yeah, I know.
That's what my dad listened to.
I know, it was...
I did really like them. I like Metallica better.
I would give almost anything to see Live... Though they're broken up, like you can't do it.
Oh, they were fabulous.
And see, then
Live was
that was actually
bands.
Pre their big popularity.
Yeah,
because their popularity didn't come until
that's what I'm saying. If they
like,
were popular
late
enough
90s.
To be, if they were popular enough to be opening from Metallica, but they're still just an opener, the early 90s. That sounds
like at that point they had like songs.
I don't think they had any songs actually. Not
they
at that
probably
point.
Didn't have like
I don't
an
think,
album they're just playing.
Yeah, they probably had an album. They may have had an album, but I don't think they were.
Do you think they were like covering?
No, they didn't. I don't know. Hold on.
I don't know.
I was also happy because
Selling Copper is like
Jason
their...
Newsted was still in Metallica. And
yeah, but that wasn't until.
That's not
like
until like the late 90s.
7, 98 maybe?
Yeah.
I know I listened to that song on the way to Comic-Con in Chicago, and that was in 2001.
That was
about a year or two.
Like I listened to mostly my mom's music growing up. Like I collected her CDs and like I would hoard them. And Selling Copper is one of them.
It says I Alone was 1994. I thought I saw them
earlier
than that. Maybe that's when I did see them.
Maybe I was thinking. Maybe we were just listening to an older album at the time, which is very likely.
I was
Oh, I know what that sound is. It's my work phone finally dying.
Whoa.
Is that the walkie-talkie kind?
That is an awfully thick flip phone.
Yeah, I can hammer nails with this thing.
And I bet you like the once
literally,
it's charged, it must last like a month.
It lasts 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never use it. There's rumors that they're going to start charging me for it, and I'm like, take it back. I don't want it.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I never use it.
To continue our Kevin Smith... theme that we had going on. Kevin Smith wrote Zach and Mary Make a Porno.
Yes, he did.
Kevin Smith used a song from Live in that movie that you cannot, like, they never released on any album.
Really?
He only heard it, like, I don't know if he heard it live or something. It's called, what is the name of it called? I had to scour the internet to find, like, the worst...
92.
Quality download of it.
Good it was 91.
Yeah.
91 is when it started.
It's in the scene where... Have you seen Zach and Mary?
Oh, yeah.
Hold Me Up. It's a... Oh, my God. It's such a good song. It's in the scene where they're actually filming their sex scene.
Oh, okay.
Like, that culminating moment. It's such a good song. But Kevin Smith, like, wanted to use that song in... like all of his movies previously, but for some reason he could never get the rights to it, or I don't
finally
know.
Finally had enough money behind it or
like,
something.
I don't, but it's like, it's impossible to find a decent quality version of the song because they never released it. I got like this weird bootleg, like awful quality copy of it.
So, American History X, another, you know what? This actually follows the trend of movies that Ethan Suplee was in.
That is correct.
Yeah, that's another.
I forgot he was in this movie.
Yeah, me too. I totally did. I was like, oh, wait.
And then it went, then it was like, oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, look.
He was the dumbass skinhead friend. Yeah, that's right.
What's interesting is...
So apparently it wasn't the Jay and Silent Bob collection.
This role is kind of similar to the ones we've seen him in before, but it's also vastly different.
Yeah.
Like,
same general IQ.
Right.
That's true.
But, yeah.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Motivation.
That guy, I've never seen him in a movie where he plays, like, an intellect.
Well, he's, he's a big guy, like a bumbling oaf, you know?
It's easy to cast a big guy into a dumb role.
All right.
You look at him and he, you know, it doesn't take much for him to look sloppy.
Yeah.
Right.
And he can very easily have like blank duh face.
Yeah, he's got a really good Jedi expression.
Yes. Like slightly open mouth.
Yep.
Like...
He might be typecast at
confused
this point.
By light switches. So.
Right. I forgot the I don't know how to pronounce her name. Stacy? Girl who played Stacy. Uh-huh. I forgot that she was in
Firuza Balk. Yeah.
I forgot that she was in this movie too.
I wanted to punch her in the face a few times.
So you can't buy...
She's really good at... Yeah. She's also one that I've pretty much only seen in a role like this. The other movie I can think of is The Craft.
Where she's just nasty.
Crazy.
Yeah.
The very first thing, if I'm remembering correctly, that I saw her, and she was young, might have been The Worst Witch with Tim Curry.
Wow.
She was young.
Alex over there looking for
shit. That's the life song.
Preteen or early teen?
Yeah, there's no release version of Hold Me Up by Live.
All right, so Alex, you were new to this movie, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and I watched the censored version too.
Okay. The censored version?
Courtesy of me putting my tablet in front of my face.
Me saying you don't want to watch this.
Oh.
I just know that he...
I believe I missed a curb stomping and a raping.
Oh,
which is all right with me.
Yeah. I had to turn my head because I actually missed something, so I rewound it, and both times had to.
Then
turn
also,
my head. Like, because I had it on the and I was like, because I didn't quite for some reason. I was like, what the?
I'm not squeamish, but this movie, and it isn't a bad thing to me. It makes me so uncomfortable. Like the tension they draw. Yeah,
and I still don't know what exactly that particular scene, what happened there.
Which scene are you talking about? The curb stomp? Oh.
They showed it. I forgot that they did.
I was afraid they were going to. I could not have seen that.
Yeah.
And
you know what? Of all the things in that scene, there's one thing that gets me. And it gets me completely. It's the teeth.
Yes. Yes.
The sound of the teeth on the concrete. It's like, at that point, I'm like...
Yeah, I can't...
Like, that...
Can we just stop, please?
Yeah. Breaking Bones, I can't look at it.
I watch it, it's fine,
I could not. And I'm glad that...
Well, the angle you see at it, they don't show you the close-up.
Was it
from far
away? It isn't gore. It's... You see it almost from Danny's perspective, standing on the wall.
It's exactly
Danny's perspective.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
And... It's dimly lit, but
did you just see the foot or?
Oh
no!
You see him.
It's like the whole scene.
Yeah, you see the whole scene, and what you see is him kind of. The guy is laying there with his face on the curb, and it's small on a full size screen. You're talking maybe a quarter of the screen because it's framed.
There's a lot of the rest of the street.
You see a lot of the rest of the street. It's not close up, but you clearly see. What's his name? Derek. Derek, jump and kick.
Was there a noise? Because I literally
was
singing aloud because I didn't want to hear a crunch.
There was a noise, and if you look, there was a spray.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now
it's really.
Yeah. It's.
I mean, honestly,
it's rough.
I literally turned away both times and started going
because
I didn't want to hear it.
Well, and the interesting thing is watching the movie. If you're watching it cold or you haven't watched it in a long time, which I haven't
watched
in a long
time. I've
never seen
it until the night before. This is my first time.
I haven't watched it in years, but watching it, I knew he had just come home from prison and they're doing the flashback of how he went to prison And so you see him and his car's getting broken into and he shoots the guys, which is terrible. But it's like, why was he in prison for 3 years? I mean, that's bad, yeah. But was it that bad? And then...
Well, yeah, in the beginning sequence, they only show that he shoots these guys.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that I think he looks back at the other guy who's still alive. But right. what they show is guys walking up to the door, someone's got a gun, they're trying to take his car, and he shoots them.
Because
not a good person thing to do, but like, right. it's, I
guess. Yeah, I mean, even with the way the scene was laid out, though, I mean, that other guy had a gun.
Exactly.
He could totally say it was self-defense
and
probably get away with
it. And what I thought he was going to do was walk up to him and just kind of point blank.
Nope.
But then when he said that, I was like, oh, no.
No, it's as bad. The badness happens.
And then I just kept sitting there since I'd never seen it before for the first, what was it, maybe 20 minutes? The first, I'm just sitting there and all that's running through my head is, this is Donald Trump's America.
Yes.
Like, the really hard part for me for getting through this was, like, I see Derek acting like this. I'm like, that's... Those are my family members.
I know people like this.
Wow. Yeah. And I'm like, this is how fucked up. And people like, a lot of people think like, oh, it's not like that anymore. No, it's fucking like
that. No, it's still like that.
Like
terribly so. It's, mm-hmm. it's horrific, but it's still like that.
Like
the guy that is, that Cameron is based on is still out walking the streets.
His character confused me. Is he like a local politician or some shit?
No, he's just a businessman. He's just a guy.
Why?
But he knows enough that he can't get his hands dirty.
Yeah, and the way they frame it, they do some things where they don't outright say it, but they show him driving off in a Mercedes. You know, and it's like, oh, he's got some money. And his conversations with Derek are all about, you know, I can't get involved in this, but you're good at this. You do this. You got this. I've trained you well.
Yeah, so that's what I was trying to figure out. Like, I couldn't understand, like what is putting him at risk? Like, is he a local business owner and he can't let people know?
He just doesn't want to be.
Yeah, he just doesn't.
He has found a group of susceptible children to do his bidding, and he's using them.
That's fucked up.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is, but that's totally... I mean, that's the mindset that guys like that use. It's also the exact same mindset that terrorists use to pull in these kids that see no future for themselves.
You're unhappy? It's their fault.
Yep. I have the person that you should blame it on.
I mean, I...
Oh, by the way, here's a gun. Now you can do something about it. Aren't you empowered? Look what I did for you.
Yeah.
Now you want to listen to me. And that's what he did.
Here's some alcohol.
Yep.
Yep.
I literally work with some people who say, so where's White History Month?
The other 11 months of the year.
And I just...
Look at a map.
Those are also the same people who are like, why isn't there straight pride?
Oh, yeah. Why
do we have a straight pride parade?
Absolutely.
You know what? When a house is on fucking
fire... And I've heard similar things.
No, it's a different thing. Like... When straight people are like in danger of being killed just for being straight, just for being out as being straight, when you're in danger of being beat up or killed or, you know, discriminated against, then you can have a pride parade.
Right.
When your neighbor's house is on fire, you don't demand that the fire department give your house equal water time. Right? It's fucking stupid.
Yep.
You target the problem.
I mean, maybe I need my house watered.
We don't. We live in fucking St. Louis.
It's dirty.
We're gonna get 6 feet of rainfall next month.
It's gonna get some soot on it from that house burning.
What I really liked about this movie, they kind of do it backwards because obviously it starts with the most dramatic, like he kills a black person, and then two and a half.
He kills two.
He killed that one guy's spirit. The guy that he curb stomped.
No, he
did. There's only a body count of three.
But they only
in the movie.
Show it.
There are only three.
But they don't people. Show his death in the beginning, is there what
was,
we're saying.
Hold on. There was the guy in the door. There was the guy that was by the truck. And there was the guy in the getaway car. So there was three guys.
The getaway car got away.
Yeah. He got away.
Oh, I thought.
He got away.
He got away.
Oh, okay.
Third death was the last one.
No, okay. No. There were only two deaths. The third death in the entire movie was the very end of the movie.
I'm agreeing with you.
It shows it backwards, but by the end of the movie, there's the scene where Danny's narrating, and he says, I think if you ask Derek, he would say that it started with my father's death, but I think it starts earlier.
Oh, and that was so powerful. It is. It really was.
Yes, it was.
It is. Because, and that's what people, like, are talking about. We have this like, this tension in our country right now where it's, like, people are, you know, PC culture is bad. Like, you can't say anything. Like, everyone's being politically correct. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I can't even say anything. Like, freedom of speech. Like, why can't I say these things when...
Yeah, freedom of speech doesn't mean...
This movie illustrates it so, like, beautifully. Mm-hmm. How it started, like, these seeds were sown, like... So, not... I guess innocently isn't the word, well,
They showed that scene when he's, like, a teenager.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's in high school. You could almost guarantee, like, that happened when he was, like, 4 or 5. Like, he's...
Well, it's showing that this is an instance where this mindset is being... I don't know what the best word is.
My guess is it's that ingrained. My guess is it's, yeah, that yeah. was probably,
but not like overtly.
Right.
It's not like we're gonna go beat up some, you know, N words and like this, and I think he does use the N word in that scene, right? In the very last part
of
it.
I think so.
A lot. But I mean, obviously, you know, you just have to you know that the father obviously has been saying stuff like this the whole time as the kids are growing up. My guess is that's probably the first time he directly kind of confronted is not the right word, but confronted his son while they were having this conversation.
The thing is his son was being shown a different way.
Yes.
And as a working class firefighter who literally saw jobs being taken away from people.
Virtually.
Well, like,
no.
His argument isn't completely irrational. It's, no. It is flawed. Like,
it's completely flawed, but looking at his limited perspective,
right. Mm-hmm.
Looking at his limited perspective, it's easy to understand where that can come from.
And it shows that it doesn't start by somebody thinking, oh, we need a race war. Like, it doesn't start at that level.
No.
It's that in this one thing, I've been marginalized.
Mm-hmm.
Not looking at the fact that in everything else, the other guy has been marginalized.
Mm-hmm.
In this one little tiny thing, I've been marginalized. And that's all I'm going to focus on for this conversation.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I've been marginalized. I've been marginalized because I am white. He is black. I scored better than him, but he got the job. Now, he wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about other guys he knew.
Yeah.
That happens. It does. It did. But it doesn't matter.
It kills me that I've got so many work stories, coworker stories that like totally line up with all of this.
Sure, because
I didn't get the job because I'm a white male. You didn't get the job because you're not good at this particular line of work.
Yeah.
You can't do it. You literally.
But
can't
the thing
do
is,
it.
The thing is
I've never been denied a job because I'm a straight white male. I'm just gonna put that out there. Not one.
I wouldn't know if I was
well,
or not.
In this one, the
I've been denied
hired,
jobs, but I don't know if I was. I don't know the reason for it.
The person
I've also never been
was...
in a situation where I've been tested for a job. Now I was tested for college entrance, and I did not get accepted to colleges that a peer of mine who was African American who had the same grades and he had a much lower ACT score than I did. He was accepted to colleges that I get the first round of letters that said, no, you can't come here.
So college is a bit different.
It is different, but...
No, it's the same sort of mindset that people have.
It's
like,
the same concept, but...
But as a stupid 17-year-old kid...
I'm familiar with the back end.
Yeah, as a stupid 17-year-old kid, I look at that and think that's unfair to me. Because that's all I'm seeing.
Right,
that's
exactly.
And you know,
you think that's unfair, but you don't yet have the capability to reflect and be like, "Oh wait,
right.
I'll go to another school."
I know.
Right.
I still have many, many opportunities.
Yeah, I'm still a white male in an upper middle class family. I'm fine.
I mean, in all of my,
I also knew that his dad was an officer in the military. My dad was not. You know, and it's like, and so it's like, so there was a disparity there.
Yeah.
You know, we were a lower class. And so there was, so it's odd.
The military officer thing might have had an even bigger thing to do with mm-hmm. his race.
Probably. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That is huge. Having an officer as a parent opens a ton of doors.
I know.
A ton of doors.
All of the many, many job interviews I've been on in decades, there was only one where I absolutely knew I did not get the job because of my size. And it wasn't the woman who interviewed me adored me, like would have hired me on the spot. But when we were done talking, she's like, you know, my boss needs to, you know, wants to meet you. And as soon as I walked in his office and his eyes went up and down and he barely shook my hand, I'm like, wow, this is the most uncomfortable thing I've ever been. Like, he spoke to me only as long as he had to. I went back in and she's like, how did it go? And I was like, honestly, you are never going to see me again. She's like, you'd be perfect for the job. You could actually take my job. I was like, I'm well aware of that. I said, he does not like me. He looked me, and I'm like, I'm just going to be honest. He looked me up and down, probably didn't even want to shake my hand. I'm like, it's, you know, I would love this job, but I'm telling you now that it's not going to happen. And I never heard from them again.
Well, listen, that was, I mean, sexism is over.
I heard that, and that's why Donald
Trump.
It was
the fat thing.
Well, no, but what I'm saying
if you were a fat man,
yeah, it's a sexist.
You wouldn't have thought twice, yeah. Which is stupid.
If what?
If you were a fat man, you wouldn't.
There are stereotypes.
I think for him,
it's stronger for women.
Yes,
but there is a stereotype against. There is a size stereotype.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it's stronger against women.
This guy simply did not even try to hide it. It was like, well,
if I ever lose my job again, I am going to eat like eggs and nothing else and work out 17 hours a day, because that's going to be the best way I can get another job.
Look, if you need a job,
I don't need a job right now. I'm fine.
I know.
I'm just saying.
I know a company, the company that I work for, that keeps hiring a lot of people. We get like 30. It was either $30 or $60 million in profit. Like, profit.
Nice.
I was like, holy fuck.
Are there any payroll openings?
I don't know. Apply.
I don't even know who you work for.
In CIRA. We hire like a couple hundred people a year. Like, we grow.
I'm still debating. I don't know what to do as far as job wise.
Whatever you want. Well, whatever you want that you have the skills for. I don't know.
All right. So overall, you said you'd never seen this movie before?
No, this is my first time. And I knew basically what it was about, but I actually did not know the plot at all.
Okay, so let's take a step back. What did you think of it?
I thought it was fantastic. It was difficult to watch. I thought they did a really great job. And the fact that it was so hard to watch is what, you know. And it always makes me think when actors have to do a role like that, not just, you know, like, oh, this, you know, his character is an asshole, but when you have to play a role that's so deeply and internally disturbing, like, what is that, you know, do you go home and are you depressed at night, or do you block it all off and just get, it's only a job? I always was curious about that.
Well, there's some of them that do it different ways. Some of them like fully immerse themselves in it and they stay that way.
Yeah.
Kayla, what'd you think?
I loved this movie the first time I saw it. I still loved it this time. I agree with you. I was super uncomfortable the entire time, but I think that that's so important.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like when we were talking about To Kill a Mockingbird.
Mm.
Talking about, you know, how it's important to watch these things, even though it makes you uncomfortable. It's
done in the right way.
Not even though, especially because it makes mm-hmm. you uncomfortable. Yeah.
I think Schindler's List is in that same class of movie.
I've never seen Schindler's List.
It's a rough movie. It's a rough movie. Yeah. It's a brilliant film, but it is not fun to watch.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever review or did you see Life is Beautiful?
I think I've seen it. I don't remember if we reviewed it. It's very
it's magnificent and difficult.
It's not nearly as difficult as Schindler's List.
Oh, I'm sure.
Not even
close. I don't doubt that at all.
There were a lot of beautiful things they did with this movie, just stylistically. Like, one, every time they do a flashback, it's in black and white.
Yeah.
That's really great. The other thing I really liked is having it under this guise of being being Danny's essay. Mm-hmm. So every once in a while we get this narration mm-hmm. and how it ties into this essay that he's writing.
And I really liked how Because when he starts the essay, he's still just kind of full of anger. And I wasn't sure where it was going since I didn't know the plot at all. So it was nice seeing how, even before, why can't I think of his brother?
Derek.
Name? Yeah. Even before, Derek. You know, Derek was out of prison, how he was starting to see what was really going on.
Who?
Like Danny.
Danny?
As the essay was changing.
No. That wasn't...
Well, because the entire essay starts after... He starts writing it after his
Danny
brother...
After Danny comes home.
He starts the day that Derek comes home. The story
takes place in 24 hours.
But when he starts writing it, he's talking about past events. And he starts writing it still in that mindset of being a white supremacist. Yes. The essay is a great vehicle to show this like transformation.
And actually, start to finish, I think the movie lasts like 18 hours, give or take, because it's from the end of the school day to the beginning of the next school day.
Right.
That's the entirety of the film from where you start the movie. Now there's flashbacks and things interwoven.
And I honestly did not expect the ending. I don't know what I expected for the ending to be, but that wasn't it.
That was one thing I remembered.
I was not expecting that to happen.
So Alex, what you saw of the movie, what did you think?
Yeah, we kind of cut you off.
Yeah.
There's a lot of nice detail work in it that I like. Overall, I'd say it's like a 4 out of 5 for me. I'll probably never watch it again. Because
it isn't a pleasure watch.
That's fair. Yeah. I've seen this movie twice. Yesterday was the second time.
Right.
I mean
a lot of thought went into the script. Like his black friend in jail when they're doing laundry together.
Lamont. Yeah.
He got 6 years for dropping a TV on his cop's foot because he's black and racist judicial system.
And that was the conversation white guy they had about that. It's
whereas
like,
the white guy who murdered a guy.
Two guys.
One of them, the state
two of them was self-defense.
Right.
He's only in there for manslaughter.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's only 3 years. What the fuck?
Manslaughter for curb stomping a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's like murder one. Yeah, but
the conversation the two of them
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
The conversation the two of them were going back and forth about why Lamont was in jail and how he's like, clearly that couldn't happen. That doesn't make sense. And he just keeps... And it's like seeing the wheels turn and the clouds clearing for Derek.
Right.
I thought that was fabulous.
He's like, come on. You toss the TV. He's like, no.
Yeah, you're shitting me. That's not what really happened. You can be honest.
I like all that detail work. There are some things in it that I wish had been like elaborated on more because I didn't understand. Like, I didn't understand how Lamont had convinced how many other inmates in Chino not to kill this guy.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
I think Lamont is obviously a charismatic person.
Yeah.
And obviously holds a lot more power than we understood.
He has connections, and he's been in the system. He's telling, you know, Derek, like, you know, these are the jobs that you don't want. These are the jobs that I've had. He's been in there a while. Mm-hmm. I think that was one of the reasons they put that in the movie, is to establish that he's a connected person.
Because he also says something about, what did he say? Something about how he wasn't very strong. He's like, yeah, look at me.
Right.
So it's not like he's a big guy. It's not like he can physically defend himself.
He's not intimidating.
Right. Yeah. I think there's a little bit there that...
I would have been more interested in that than the fucking white supremacist shit. Like, I don't care two shits about watching
But the entire
him.
Thing was about...
Well, but I mean, like, where they're running around the party and the
But that's so important.
High school
girl,
is it?
Yeah.
That scene is so important. That's a scene where Derek goes... That's his homecoming party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone's excited. He's like
He's the hero.
Hero. Yeah. You know, and there are kids coming up to him who have never met him, who were inducted after he was in jail.
And told all the stories of his glory.
Right.
And all the fantastic
things
he's done.
That scene is so important. And then he goes and he confronts Cameron, beats the shit out of him, and then you see how quickly they turn.
And you just want to kick Stacy in the face.
Right in the face.
Oh my God.
Whoever Baby, that I'll actress do, is do did anything. A really good job.
She's a good actress.
Yeah. Firuza?
I think, I don't know if it, I think it's Firuza. I think it's
Firuza. Firuza Balk?
Yeah.
But like even in the scene where they flash back and they're having dinner with that one teacher, like you can tell that she's like getting off on the rage and the anger.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like
oh,
she loves it.
Yeah. She's totally getting turned on by her man, but sticking it to that.
God, that was another scene Jewish that was teacher. Really like,
yeah, really didn't get difficult him trying to force feed that girl a pork steak. He was just was doing on there. That was fucking weird.
He was just abusing her.
He was shutting her up. Yeah. It was his sister.
He's just abusing her.
Yep.
And honestly, even Beverly D'Angelo was
disrespected.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And that's exactly what it was. Yeah.
And his friend was like that, too, when he came in the house. Get out of my house. Shut up. Like,
what? Yeah, no. And that's their mindset. Mm-hmm. That was their mindset. Ugh.
Sorry.
That scene was
good
really
acting. It's just this, like, attitude's disgusting.
It is.
I know. Good litmus test.
It succeeded then. I mean, that's what it wanted you to feel. It wanted you to be disgusted, and you were.
Oh, God,
clearly.
Yes.
And I think that is the sign of what made it successful. I like the movie. The second time I saw it, I see flaws in it. I see serious flaws in it as a film. Not in the story itself, but in how they told the story. Edward Norton monologues so fucking much. Oh my God. Every 15 minutes, he's got a 5-minute long speech.
Yeah.
And it is a speech. It's not dialogue. It is him ranting.
Yeah.
When in any other situation, somebody would have run out of steam 2 minutes before that, or somebody would have interrupted him. Or he would have passed the baton on to somebody to continue to the point. It was just so much of it.
One of the terrifying things to me, though, is hearing all the arguments and the positions that the white supremacists say and reflecting on how I've heard those, like, in media in the last year.
Yeah.
Like, holy fuck. Like, yeah, when he says it using these words, everybody knows it's crazy and racist, but when this Fox News anchor says it and replaces some words with the word thug, everybody's like,
change the N-word to thug, it's
they decide it's acceptable.
Yep.
And, oh my God, it's just like,
yeah. Now, I think it clearly gets the point across, and on a single viewing, which I think most people are only going to ever watch this once.
Right.
I would have only watched it once had we not come back to it for the podcast.
Yeah,
I don't think I would have seen the flaws in it. But it was only on a second viewing, and I'm being a little more critical because I know the story. Mm-hmm. Right. I know what's coming.
You're not going to be shocked anymore, right?
Right. Well, it's still shocking. There's still...
But you can anticipate the shocks because you've already witnessed it. Yeah, it's still completely disturbing.
When I knew that we were watching this, I could still hear those teeth on the concrete.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
2 weeks ago when we decided this was the movie we were going to watch, mm-hmm. I knew that was coming, and I had to steel myself for it because it's so terribly uncomfortable.
I'm so glad I did not, because I was like, should I peek? I'm so glad I didn't. That would have just...
No, it's rough. But so then I started doing a little bit of research on the movie. The movie was released over a year after it was shot, because it had serious issues within the editing process. The work print of the movie, which is the movie that they were using to get backed and everything, was 18 minutes shorter than the theatrical release. Apparently, the director was having trouble, sounds like, coming to terms with himself and making this movie, and editing it in such a way that did it justice, and felt just disgusted by it.
Right.
So he drug his feet editing it. Apparently, Edward Norton would, behind everybody's back, go in and edit the movie, which is why he has so many monologues in it. He edited it so that he gave himself more screen time.
Was he getting paid based on screen time?
No, but he gave up. He gave up the. He gave up a role in Saving Private Ryan to make this movie because he wanted this movie so badly. Working with Steven Spielberg and that cast.
Did he do anything big before this?
Did Fight Club come before this?
I'm pretty sure this
When was Fight Club?
I'm pretty sure I don't Fight remember.
Club this was this. This was 97, 98.
I don't think this was like an early movie for Edward Norton.
Well, I mean, I remember when the movie came out, I knew who he was. So maybe it was after Fight Club.
So it might have been after Fight Club.
Fight Club was 99.
Oh, it was before. Not much before.
No.
So it's just... It's
the year before Fight Club.
Yeah, it was interesting. Okay. It was interesting that there was some trouble behind the scenes of the movie. And then once... After I had finished watching the movie and I was reading some of that and hearing that edits were made to give Edward Norton more screen time and things like that, it's like, boy, all those monologues make a lot more sense now. Mm-hmm. It's because they are a little long.
The People versus Larry Flint, I guess that was his first like big one.
Yeah.
Who is he have in a big role? I don't remember him in. I mean, I saw it, but I don't. Who was he?
He was one of the attorneys.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure.
Was he? I don't remember. I've seen it once, and I own a copy because
I guess this reasons. Is like...
But they were giving away copies at the Hustler store.
People versus Larry Flint.
Yeah.
Side note: first porn magazine I ever saw in my life.
That's a big one.
Yeah, that's
the People versus Larry Flint is.
It was in my dad's dresser drawer.
It's also a very sad movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Larry Flint is kind of awesome, though.
This is a very sad movie.
It is.
Do you know that Larry Flint played the judge in that movie?
Yes. Yeah.
That's fucked up. what else? I remember how this guy was a dick because I was there.
Yeah.
He was being a dick to me. So now I'm going to be a dick playing him.
So the acting I thought was fantastic throughout. I didn't even mind Edward Furlong all that much.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty decent.
He was pretty good.
He just seemed like a flaky... 17-year-old kid, like, you know, just struggling.
And because I've never really seen her do anything with teeth, but I felt for Beverly D'Angelo as the mother.
Every time someone mentions it, I, like, have to suck on my teeth, like...
Make sure they're still there. Make sure my jaw hasn't unhinged.
Am I missing something?
The curb stomp.
The curb stomp.
Oh, sorry.
Oh.
I don't know. It's a good movie. If you haven't seen it, I'd say watch it.
I think it's an important movie to watch.
Yeah.
And I think maybe because of what's going on right now, that first 20 or so minutes was
gotta be an R-rated
more
movie, right?
difficult
oh, absolutely.
For me. Because
it starts with like a sex scene, like full frontal nudity, like in a sex scene. There's full frontal nudity in the shower.
There's some side. Oh, there actually is full on straight on dong on that one. Dude.
Yeah.
Yep.
It has to be rated R.
Yes, it's full on R.
Especially in the late 90s.
Just with the political climate that's going on right now, watching that movie, it's just like...
So another problem I had with the movie is the story that they're telling breaks down in shortly after they... Danny is finishing his paper and they leave the house. They go to the coffee shop and the police officer shows up with the teacher, principal, whatever he is.
Yeah.
They come in and they're like, oh, Cameron and your buddy were jumped. And they're going to make it. They're in bad shape. And like my first thought is, after everything that just happened, why aren't they just immediately throwing cuffs on him?
Right.
The day you're out of jail, you had an altercation with him that there were many witnesses for. They could have easily thrown the book. Those people could have easily thrown him under the bus.
Who?
But then it was
the white supremacists could have thrown
Cameron.
They wouldn't have done that because they want to get back at him.
That's true. That's true. But at the same time, there's like they come to him and they want him. To go back to them and get information, and it's like
that
didn't make a lot of sense. And there was like this weird non-resolution with the fact that he quit the white supremacists. We're gonna fucking kill you, but that's not where the hit comes from. It comes from
I like that because and I was talking to Alex about this, that boy that shoots Danny, he is Danny.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Just in a totally different situation. Everything is exactly the same. And I think that that was an important point to make.
If Derek comes back one day later, it's Danny with a gun in that bathroom shooting that kid.
Yep. Right.
Easily. That easily could happen. Yep. It bugged me that there wasn't a little more resolution with the white power stuff. It just felt like there could have been cutting out. There was some stuff they could have cut
That was my during that scene. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, what was cut out of this whole thing? Because it's, you know, it's basically they just show up. This happened. Now
they didn't cut anything. That's just it. That's how the story was told. That's the problem. There was a
lot of stuff that was cut there. And
no,
because it was very like, let's just throw this in real quick.
The cop and the principal that showed up. That's not how that would work.
Right.
And that's the part that really that was one of the a handful of things that bugged me.
How do you think it would work?
I feel like they would show up and say, "Hey, who can we get information from?" Like you're now an informant. You're not going to go back. We're not going to the police officer isn't going to say, "Hey, go talk to these people who might kill you."
who want to kill you now. Yeah. Go back
the
in.
The scene is right. Almost worthless though.
Right.
There's nothing that happens in that scene.
It could have
that
just
didn't
not
happen
been
previously.
There.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because the point that scene is trying to make is you can't just run from this. This is, you are responsible for this, partially. Right. You know, obviously this mindset came along before you, but you are a huge part in why it's gained traction. But he already did that in the prison.
Mm-hmm. Right. But they don't know it. Nobody knows it outside.
Right.
Because everybody still assumes he's part of the lifestyle. The white supremacists feel he's still part of it. His family thinks he's still part of it. His the cops and the principal still think he's part of it. They don't know. The principal kind of knows.
The principal knows that he's white. He knows.
Yeah.
Because I mean, when he went to see him after the rape, he knows that the coroner is being turned.
Also, that was another thing that bugged me. If I get raped in prison, are they going to call my high school principal and say, "Hey, one of your students just got raped in jail. You should come down and visit him"? Like, what was the fucking chain of
Sweeney
communication?
Sweeney is obviously more involved with the lives of his students than
because Sweeney is the one
principal
who gave him that book to do the report on.
Well, he gave all of his students that.
Yeah,
book
but and but I was when I was doing a little bit of background reading, it appeared to me that the two of them got along together.
Originally,
yes.
Well, yeah, yeah, that's established in the in
so
the
it did
scene.
Make me wonder if he's the one who asked them to call Sweeney.
Yeah, I kind of got the impression that he asked for Sweeney.
Yeah,
because he didn't want any of his family. He didn't want any of them to know.
No.
I think he looked at that. He looked at him as a father figure since his father was gone.
Even if he doesn't know it
right
necessarily.
Right.
Because he's a straight A student.
He was.
He starts as a straight A student. So
he's brilliant. He's charismatic. They establish that really well.
Yeah.
Right. I think it's different in schools in Southern California because this would be much more a problem. Gangs are much more of a problem, especially for young people. So it's something that a principal has to have.
There wasn't a gang in my school districts.
Right. So it's something that a principal does have to have a grasp on.
Yeah.
Well, they even say he killed a Crip.
Who?
Those were
Sweeney
the people.
Did?
That's yeah. No, the at some point somebody says he killed a couple of Crips.
Yeah, they were talking about Derek.
Yeah, the people that Derek killed. I can't remember now who says it.
Right.
But they clearly say that it was a couple of Crips or some Crips were trying to break in into his car. But I remember that line.
It isn't crazy to me that Sweeney would still have an interest in this high school student who he once knew was brilliant, charismatic, who took such a desperately wrong turn. Especially because he is a black man and he saw in Derek a good person. And then now he's like a leader of this gang, you know, of this white supremacist gang.
And while Derek is in jail, he is starting to see Danny take those same steps.
Exactly.
Over those 3 years, he's starting to see this more and more in Danny.
So, Obi-Wan Sweeney. I mean, it's scary. I just started thinking of that. So, Obi-Wan Sweeney.
Oh my God.
Trains
You're a fucking...
trains Derek, who turns to the dark side, and is then is then redeemed by a younger family member.
Being murdered.
That should just happen.
Mind blown.
I don't know. I wish the whole coffee shop scene...
It was unnecessary.
Didn't happen.
Either.
I understand why they did it, but I feel like they had already previously done it. And
I wish that had been replaced. Like, I don't know. All of it just felt kind of forced and weird.
Which part?
The coffee shop scene. Oh. Like, if instead he just dropped the kid off at school, and then
if the Sweeney was like, if Sweeney was out front, yeah, when he was there and
at the school,
and he talked to him, and then as he walked away, the police pulled up to him and said, "Hey, this is what's going on." It would have made a little more sense because I don't know. And it would have kept him away from the school. He could have been there when the call came in and shots fired at the school, because that didn't make any sense.
That's the other thing. I was like, this is before cell phones.
Right.
So it's not like they could have called Derek and been like, hey, like your brother got shot.
Yeah, because I'm like, he's how walking loud somewhere. Was it
that he... I thought what happened... No, that doesn't even make sense.
No, it doesn't. He was because walking away from the school.
He left school. And by the I thought at first he was like walking away and then he heard the gunshot and then he ran back. But they already had fucking caution tape up and everything. And the kid was arrested.
I think the only thing... I think
more time had passed than maybe we are giving it credit for.
Yeah.
I think maybe the only thing... The only other thing I can think of what may have been implied was he saw the car and thought that was the same car that Danny described to him driving slow through the neighborhood, which would have made sense because Danny was fucking with those kids and those kids were fucking with him back. Mm-hmm. He saw that car and thought something's weird and just wanted to go back and was on his way back. The car was driving, so it would have gotten there first. The kid would have met Danny in the bathroom, shot him. By the time Derek got back, there's an obvious commotion going on, and he runs in to see what's going on.
The other thing but I could think of is maybe he met with his parole officer, and while he was meeting with his parole officer, he got the call, and he was hauling ass. Like, we don't know.
No.
We're just fucking making shit up.
It isn't, but that it's point weird. Isn't, it isn't super important to me.
At that point, it's dramatic. It's all dramatic effect.
Yeah. Right, yeah. It isn't super important to me, but...
I'm okay with Danny getting shot. I'm okay with most of this movie.
He was a child.
He was a child, but I, you know what? It
makes a better point in the movie.
It does.
I'm not okay with
right. Because I think, I don't remember what I thought.
A redeeming quality. That's not, good not good
okay.
on you, Alex.
Not okay with rape.
After the conversation we had.
No, I said that jokingly.
But it's not a joke.
It's not a joke.
What was I saying?
I was like, he murdered three people.
I don't remember what I was thinking the first time I watched this. I knew that Danny gets shot at the end, but I felt like, and maybe the both of you can chime in since this was your first time watching it, did you get more of a feeling that Derek was going to die? Because obviously leading up to the end, there's tension being built.
Mm-hmm. I thought if Derek was going to die, it was going to come at the hands of the white supremacists.
Yeah, that's what
figured. But at that point in the movie,
What did you guys think was what was that point culminating to?
I thought they were going to kill Derek as he was walking Danny to school. The white supremacists were going to come.
I did have that thought as well.
I thought that's what was going to happen.
That's a reasonable thought to have.
Yeah. I think they did that on purpose.
And see, I think they took away the fear of that happening with the coffee shop scene. Yeah. I think that actually undermined the idea that that could happen.
Because they set up with that scene that he then needs to go confront the white supremacists.
Right.
Like, he needs to go back into the wolf's den.
Yeah.
So that was where I thought the tension was coming from.
But that was just such a... It was just a stupid thing for them to say.
So
I obviously knew watching it, I could see all the foreshadowing to Danny getting killed.
So here's something interesting. The original ending for the movie was not how it ended.
It was everybody gets killed. Yeah. It's like Hamlet style.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
What, like, oh. No, I didn't know if there was like a big thing that happened at that party.
No, what the original ending was going to be, but Edward Norton actually fought to keep this from happening, was that the last thing you'd see is Derek shaving his head. Yeah. That was the way it was originally written because the cycle turned.
After Danny's kill.
No,
I think after
Danny's
awful.
Kill.
Oh, that would have been horrible.
That's awful.
Yeah.
No,
don't think that would be a...
That's not...
That doesn't make sense
to
me.
No, that would have made me so angry.
I think that him having
For a movie, I think it's a terrible ending.
Yeah.
But I think it's far more realistic.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
If you make the leap that Derek changed this month in the 3 years he's been in prison... In the 3 years he's been in prison, sorry. He wouldn't have reverted back.
I don't know. Yeah, it's...
I think he's too intelligent to, like, I think he now is equipped with the,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
he's now equipped with, what's the fucking word?
Compassion?
I don't know.
The compassion, the, like, more understanding, more empathy.
Empathy, mm-hmm. Yeah.
He would be able to see that kid.
That was the original ending.
No, that's what they wanted. That would have been
that's
so
what,
wrong.
That's what
that would
that's
made
what the
this
script
movie
was.
Worthless to me.
I mean, even though I didn't foresee Danny being shot, that's how it needed to end.
The Danny being shot, like, I'm okay with it happening. The part I don't get is what did Danny do to deserve getting shot?
Well,
that's the point.
He disrespected that other kid, and that's
no, because this other kid who I don't even think is named.
He was in a similar situation to Danny
in
the first scene.
Where he is under the wing of these other gang members.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who goad him into doing this?
Is
that the kid who disrespected you? Is that who you were talking about?
But I don't think hardcore gang members murder children when they get disrespected by them, do they?
Yeah.
No, it has nothing to do with the disrespect. It was just an induction into this gang or into this lifestyle. This is you proving to us, and this is a target because he just happens to be, oh, we had this altercation. Okay, a target.
I think I took a much more simplistic view of it. I just kind of looked at it as...
I didn't think of it that way, but that makes sense.
I totally understand that. I just kind of looked at it as, see how easy it is for this cycle to continue. Because this was the kid that he, you know, got into the little minor tussle with at the beginning in the bathroom. See how easy it is for that hate
and that anger to manifest up to that point. I feel like there has to be some more history or something there that I don't understand. But
Danny is the little brother of a well-known white supremacist.
If that was established and that kid knew it, I'm sold.
How could he not?
They're all in there.
It's all gang related.
Yeah.
Yeah. The white supremacists are a gang.
I mean, he did his report on Mein Kampf. It wasn't a secret. The kids of school. Know what he was about at that point, on the down low, he's got a tattoo, my head is shaved.
Like, his brother is a legend for having.
Yeah, back then, my hairstyle would have gotten me looked at sideways a lot.
Still does.
I look sideways constantly.
That's why my phone tells me.
She's worried. Yeah.
She just doesn't tell you. It begins with warning.
It's the white supremacist app.
Right.
Tony, you have a giant swastika. Oh, that was the other funny thing. Like, he's looking in the mirror at his giant swastika. He's like, this was a mistake.
I can't. And the only other thing with that, I wanted him to cover it up somehow.
But you know what, though? What I really kind of liked was the symbolism of him covering it up, but he did it with his right hand over his heart.
Yeah.
It was very symbolic. In that moment.
That's another beautiful moment in the movie.
Okay. But what's funny is, like, I imagine...
There's nothing funny about the movie at all!
The funny thing is, I imagine the thoughts going through his head, like, what kind of cover-up tattoo am I gonna need? Like, it's gonna have to be fucking huge.
I was thinking that as well.
It'd have to be a big old square. Because back then, tattoo removal was... I don't even think it was a thought at that point. Like, you're gonna have to get...
You're gonna, like cut it off or skin graft? Or have some crazy...
Just big circle, make it a balloon, put a string.
Just fill it in.
Sons of Anarchy style. Yeah. The blade or the booze.
Like, what are you gonna do? Like, I
cut it off or burn it off.
Because that's what would
be going
through
my head. Wonder Woman chest plate.
What's funny is, like, I look at I look in the mirror and half the time I look in the mirror and I'm surprised, like, oh, I forgot I have a tattoo. Like, I look in the mirror after I get out of the shower and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's there. I forgot.
You should start drawing on him while he's sleeping so that he's like, do I always
tattoo, though? He also, the other, I don't know which arm it was on, he had the eagle that the Nazis used and white power written right under it.
That one's probably easier to cover up because it's not a 1-inch thick swastika all the way around.
Yeah, but still.
Like, there's only so many directions that can go.
You can alter the eagle a little bit, do something.
Make diamonds out of it.
Make it the Hindu symbol. Put the dots and shit in there. I don't know.
You'd have to flip it.
Oh, yeah, you gotta rotate it.
It doesn't go that way.
I don't know.
There was a little part of me that kept thinking at one point, is he gonna, well, he was in jail, and I'm like, is he gonna, cut his skin or something? Like, literally remove it.
Fuck, I would.
No, you wouldn't. You can't even...
I wouldn't get a swastika tattooed on my chest, though.
Yeah, that's fair.
I feel like... like, I mean...
It sounds like quitter talk.
Like, I have the Mustang silhouette on my left arm.
You got Sharpies? I got, a whole bunch of Sharpies at home.
I have a Mustang silhouette on my left arm, but, if tomorrow the Mustang silhouette was suddenly the white power symbol, I'd look into getting that taken care of, immediately.
Change it into a unicorn.
Sure.
That's a hard cover-up, too.
Oh, my God, that would be so easy to change into a unicorn.
I just get it cut off.
But no, that's very specifically the Mustang logo.
Well, no,
regardless of a horn.
You can do something. Maybe, a field of flowers underneath. It's running.
Or just put a note under it, I got this in 2006. It didn't mean what it means now.
Decisions were made.
I saw this story online and
it was a happier time.
But he was like, me and my buddy, a couple years ago, were looking to get tattoos and I backed out on it because I couldn't decide. You know, I didn't want to get some symbol put on my body that was, you know, years later, suddenly the face of, you know, some hate group, you know, and my buddy was making fun of me and blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, except my buddy got the name of his favorite metal band tattooed on him. Isis. So awkward.
One of our friends has a dog named Isis. So when it runs away, they're outside screaming Isis. So they add Isis the dog to it.
You know what's so funny to me?
Isis, come here, puppy. Come here, puppy. Come here.
But she was...
What's so funny to me is that, Isis is an Egyptian goddess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, people don't have that knowledge. That's so strange to me.
So there was a TV show.
Almighty Isis.
Almighty Isis.
Yes,
it was a Saturday morning TV show in the 70s.
Yes, I absolutely remember that.
You know what's funny, though, is Isis doesn't even call themselves Isis. They call themselves ISIL.
Yeah.
Because they don't call Syria Syria. So that is the fault of Americans making up that fucking acronym.
We suck.
ISIL. Fuck. Why did we change it?
I mean, Isis is, there are people named Isis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who get, who are getting,
school kids.
Harassed.
People who've named their daughters Isis. And it just absolutely sucks.
That reminds me, there's a lady whose last name is Null, N-U-L-L, and she can't buy plane tickets on a lot of websites because it throws a database error.
Yep.
No.
That's
so
fucking fantastic.
She has to go to the airport to buy her plane tickets sometimes because she's like, I can't type my name in your website. It says last name is required.
For a long goddamn time, we had to pound on certain websites to get stuff shipped to our house because O'Fallon... O'.
Yeah.
Just completely fucked with so many databases.
Alex's grandparents, they live in, Redbond?
Mm-hmm.
And, in a lot of places, if you're trying to have something shipped to them, it doesn't register their, the delivery system, doesn't understand. It's so weird.
My other grandparents live in Hecker, and you can only ship to them via P.O. Box, I think.
I think that's
right.
Hecker.
You have to know their P.O. box number. Even UPS, P.O. box, just drop stuff at the post office. So, it's terrible. But so I mean, weird. Most of the roads don't have fucking street signs. So.
But they were like trying to give their address to somebody that they were getting technical support from. They like called their internet provider.
Their own internet provider.
And they're like, that place doesn't exist. They're like, we literally live here.
We live here. we live here. We're your customer.
Yeah, you provide service to us. They're like, well, we can't find that address. Like, it's so strange.
Ugh. So some of the trivia, which is what I was reading when I saw some of the other interesting things. During the basketball game scene, Seth is wearing a t-shirt that has the number 88 on it.
Is that Ethan?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a Nazi skinhead code for HH or Heil Hitler because H is the eighth letter of the alphabet. It also refers to a set of the 88 precepts written by neo-Nazi leader David Lane. The 88 precepts are rules and concepts that all white supremacists live by.
As I was watching this, I started out, like, he's singing that song. Seth is singing that song. He's driving around. I'm like, oh, they made up a weird, crazy Nazi song. No. And then after, I thought that, I'm like, no, that's a real thing.
That's
like,
a real
all
thing.
This shit is fucking real, and yeah. This world is terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, it's a terrible fucking song.
Marlon Brando was considered for the role of Cameron Alexander.
Huh.
Joaquin Phoenix was offered the
Marlon
role of...
Marlon Brando?
Oh, man. He would have been good and creepy in that.
He would have needed a lot. I mean, it would have been a much bigger role, I think, if he was.
Yeah,
he had done it.
I think. Yeah.
He wouldn't have done it for this, as small a role as it was. Joaquin Phoenix was offered the role of Derek, but found the subject matter of the film distasteful and passed on the project.
Yeah, that's why Edward Norton's the man.
Oh,
my gosh. Is that Ethan now?
He lost a ton of weight at one point.
Yeah. Jeez.
The punk band Antiheroes sued New Line Cinema over a character's tattoo featuring the band. The band did not want to be associated with the Nazis, even fictional ones, in any way.
Oh my god.
The band went on to record a song called NLC that debases the film studio, New Line Cinema. Here it is. Edward Norton was said to have re-edited the film to lengthen his screen time. Director Tony Kane then attempted to get his own name removed from the credits, but violated a Directors Guild of America rule that states that directors that use pseudonyms must not talk about why they had their name removed, which Tony Kaye had done in ads in Variety. According to Entertainment Weekly, he wanted his credit to read Humpty Dumpty. Eventually, Kane sued the DGA and New Line Cinema for $200 million, stating that the DGA rule violated his First Amendment rights.
That's such a strange...
Yeah.
Why?
One of the t-shirts Seth wears late in the film has the name Screwdriver printed on it, a British white power skinhead band. In the midst of the dispute about the time he was taking to edit the film, director Tony Kaye attended a meeting with Michael DeLuca, the New Line senior product president. Kaye arranged for a Jewish rabbi, a Catholic priest, and a Buddhist monk to be present at the meeting to support his argument and to, quote, make the meeting a more spiritual one. That's... All the vineyards have the same initials except for the, Allie. Except for Allie.
The baby.
Davina.
Mm-hmm.
Both William Russ, who was the real dad, and Ethan Suplee have appeared in Boy Meets World.
That's right. Yeah, William Russ is the dad in Boy Meets World.
Yeah, he was in 154 episodes.
And
Ethan
Suplee
was
like
in 19 episodes.
So wait, what are we doing next week?
The high school using the film is Venice High School, located in Venice, California.
I've been to Venice.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. I lived in Venice. Well,
California?
I didn't really live there. It was a very long extended vacation.
Here we go.
Venice where I got honked at and flipped somebody off?
No, that was Laguna Beach. Okay. That was very far away from Venice.
Right. It was like a 7-month extended vacation.
Hey.
And I was told, I was subletting a friend's she was living in a 3-bedroom house and I was subletting her room because she had moved, and I was told it was Marina Del Rey, but then when I got there I realized it was Venice. But it was still only a 10-minute walk to the beach where I went every single solitary day.
Fuck yeah.
But again, this was 1988.
Hey, that was
Southern
a
California
year.
Was way different.
Well, that's what, yeah, because that's what
and I saw no
Danny was talking about how much different it was when he was little.
Well, I mean, because, like...
No, but this movie was filmed...
In 98.
Oh, no. Oh, that's right. 98.
97.
It was at the time it was still Muscle Beach. Very much Muscle Beach.
I just because like
and I saw Charlie Sheen before we moved out of
California in 92, and then we went when we went back in 2008. My mom was just like remarking about how insane the changes are mm-hmm. there, just like how everything is like filled in and like everything is expanded and crazy. So. And there are still, like, huge swaths of the area that are, like, burnt down from the riots, like, that have never...
Wow.
They still haven't, like, recovered, which happened the year after, or the year we left.
Rodney King riots?
The L.A. riots.
The L.A. riots.
Yeah, same thing.
That was 90...
Which they refer to in the movie.
94? Mm-hmm.
That's what the big argument is at the kitchen table.
Yep. I think I'm talked out about this movie.
Me too. Yeah, I don't have anything else to say. It was heavy.
It was heavy.
It was a refrigerator that I moved one time, and it's never going to get moved again.
The other, there, I guess there's a great thing, analogy. Other thing I wanted to bring up is they use the N-word a lot in this movie. And, like...
They also use... I don't know if... They also use other slurs.
Well,
they
I know,
use
but
slurs against
everybody.
Murray.
Yeah. They also use slurs against Latinos. And
yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yep, they do.
Because, what is it? Danny says, I hate everyone who isn't white Protestant.
Yeah.
That's like...
That's a lot of people.
But there's this... I don't know. There's this, like, generational thing that I guess is a little bit after me where the N-word is being used, like, colloquially. Like,
oh, that word hurts me. Because
I have friends in Maine who use it. Very white friends,
mm-hmm.
and they don't know any like black people who use it. Just like
really,
yeah.
That's,
and it makes me super uncomfortable.
I hear that.
It makes me super uncomfortable. And I've like I've confronted a couple of them about it, and I get this like whole like oh you're just being PC like, and I try to explain to them like
no
the same coworker.
I try to explain to them like one of the things about Maine is that people aren't. There are obviously racist people there, but you aren't brought up specifically to be racist. There just aren't a lot of black people around.
It's not diverse.
It just isn't diverse.
There are white people and moose.
So then I'm here living in St. Louis, obviously a much more diverse area.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, I'm trying to explain to them, like, racism still exists, like, a lot. Like, a lot. And if you said this in front of a black person, like, they have every right to be upset with you because you have no clue what it... You have no clue what it means.
Right.
I honestly
I get shit on for it all the time.
I didn't know a whole lot...
I got into an argument with some of them about it.
About racism. I mean, the Revere, where I grew up in... When I was growing up, it was, like, 90% Italian, or maybe 80% Italian, 20% Irish. When I graduated from high school in 1984, one black family. Seven kids, so they were all the ones we knew, but it was just the one family.
Mm-hmm.
I never really... But in the 70s, Boston started busing students from lower-income black neighborhoods into whiter neighborhoods, and...
St. Louis still does this.
It was... horrible. I mean, that was my introduction, is seeing this on the news. I mean, Revere borders Boston on the north, but there was the busing itself in the 70s was in the city of Boston. And it was, even as a kid, it disgusted me that, you know, there would just be these white parents who didn't want black kids going. And I couldn't understand it, and it disgusted me. I'm like...
Dude, and see, I knew that it was going on, but I didn't understand it. Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand
it didn't make any sense.
Hate.
I didn't understand why it was good. I didn't understand why it was bad. I didn't understand why everybody couldn't just go to school in your neighborhood. Why can't you just go to school at the school down the street?
I mean, initially,
I just had no concept of it.
Yeah. Initially, I thought
the school down the street was a shithole.
Right.
Initially,
I just thought it was a population thing. Like some cities had tons and tons of kids, and maybe not enough schools. Some cities had, you know, plenty of schools with room. I simply thought it was dispersing of the population.
Yeah, see, in my youth, my houses were either the first house I lived in was a trailer. and then it was pretty much base housing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we were on base. Living on base is pretty diverse. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. you had African-American families. You had a ton of interracial couples. Ton. Mm-hmm. Now, it was Caucasian-Asian. It was a lot of Caucasian-Asian.
Yeah. That makes sense. Because
it was a lot.
It was, well, you grew up around Vietnam happened when you were a kid, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So very. It was very young. It was ending.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a lot of GIs came back with Asian wives. It happened, and you know what? Maybe that was racist. I don't know. I couldn't tell you, but all I know is that I went to school with kids who had white dads and Asian moms. I went to school with one girl who had a Japanese American father and a Caucasian mom.
It doesn't matter.
To me, it was just those were the kids in school. Yeah. I mean, it just
and the only concern is, are you a fun kid to play with, or you just a little jerk that I don't want to hang out with?
No, it was also if you're are you an officer's kid? Because if so, you live in those houses over there that we're not allowed to ride our bikes next to because they get pissy about it. Yeah, and that's a thing. Like. People think it's weird, but like we had bigger prejudices with the officer enlisted. It was. Yeah. It totally was. Because you could always tell.
Were you an untouchable?
Those fucking officers' wives in the BX, those bitches. Oh my god, they were the worst. The snooty bitches. Oh my god. They were the worst.
So seeing this movie, another thing that it made me think about was there are white people who hate everybody else. If you are not exactly like them, they fucking hate you.
Yep.
Are there other people in other races that are like that? Or is this just a white thing?
Nope. No.
There are a lot of Asian cultures that are completely xenophobic like that.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. It isn't an exclusively white thing. It's a human thing.
Yeah.
It's still completely wrong. It's just that we...
And a lot of time it's a lot more old world cultural.
Right. It's just that white... Well, for one, we live in a white culture, so we see it more frequently. Two, globally, white people tend to dominate and pretty much have.
Yeah.
So you see it more.
We got gunpowder. And then it pretty much just went from there.
I don't, there are a lot of prejudices that I don't, like, I had to have you explain to me, like, why people hated, like, what is anti-Semitism about? Like, I just didn't understand that. I don't understand how it's still a thing. I didn't understand where it came from. It's
still a thing because people are fucking stupid.
Like, it doesn't make sense.
I know how it originated.
I don't understand how, like, Judaism and Christianity, they split off at a very specific, like, moment.
And Islam. A lot of people don't like to talk about
this. But absolutely.
They worship the same God.
No, absolutely.
No.
The prophets are different.
You can't say they worship the same God, but they have, this tree is forked.
It is the same God, but
it is.
But the thing, I can understand.
Each one has a different prophet.
Not that I understand, but I, like, people who practice Islam tend to be a different color. Like, and like, people are just prejudiced for that.
It depends. Like, Saudi Arabia is white. Yeah. Saudi Arabia is white.
They're not Judaism, European white.
They're not European white.
My understanding of there was some fundamental Judaism that was back to bloodlines. Like, you couldn't call yourself. You couldn't just convert to Judaism.
No. Right.
And I believe it also has to run on the mother side of the family.
Well, yeah, because it's the only way you can prove it.
Like, if your father's Jewish, but your mother's not, you're not Jewish.
The same goes with royalty. You can only prove the royal bloodlines through the mothers.
But,
that's totally sexist thing.
Yeah.
That, because she could have slept around. You can't prove that the child she's carrying is from...
The father.
From the father.
This is true.
It was also because of the inbreeding. Sometimes they were impotent. So,
or had a third arm or half an arm.
It's just always crazy to me the things that people choose to, like the whole Protestant and Catholic thing that still happens. That's
still fucking, like, they still build walls in England between Protestant and Catholic neighborhoods. They call them peace walls.
Well, yeah.
Like, I heard about this, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on in England? Like around, where I'm from, we don't have peace walls.
Because I'm, like, completely on the outside of it. I'm like, to me, you guys are all doing the same thing.
Yeah.
No, there's fundamental differences there.
Well, I know, but, and like, it all means the same thing to me.
It's crazy. It's so minor.
Yeah.
But
it... back in the day, it wasn't, though. Like, back in the day, that was a huge deal.
Yeah, it was a huge schism.
But, like, now... Like, there are still Protestants who are like, yeah, the Pope's awesome. That's not your guy, though. You know that, right? Like, yeah, but he's cool. Like,
all right. But that makes more sense to me than people who are holding on to these, like, strange feuds. Like,
it's like the geek. Have you ever seen the hierarchy of geek culture?
Yeah.
Where at the bottom of it's the sexual furries.
That bugs the shit out of me.
But it's the same thing. Everybody. Finds some way to differentiate themselves and label themselves and make themselves unique, and then they start doing it in groups.
Yeah,
well,
you know, and they find people that are like them.
It's fascinating to me.
The thing that pisses me off, because
everyone does it. Like it's
the thing that pisses me
off. Even if you're completely like aware, it's still happening.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So it's fascinating to me.
The thing that pisses me off about that is they're like, well, at least I'm not a furry. Like, whoa.
Speaking of...
What?
Did
Like, that's not that bad of a deal. Okay, some consenting adults are hanging around having a good time. That's fine.
Well, like, did you also...
Costumes?
Like, also, yeah. Like,
did who you... Gives a shit?
Hey, you know what? At Sausage Fest 1, Princess Leia and Wonder Woman made out. There's video. Just saying.
Those are furries,
we're open.
Though.
No. But why is that any different? Why is it different if two people...
We need a fox and a rabbit.
I will admit that people who tend to be sexual furries, it isn't what they decide, how they decide to have sex. Just as the people they tend to be tends to be the type of person that I don't enjoy hanging around with.
Well, so
people who talk about like being other kin and like
the furry culture also has a drug problem right now. They're going through like a similar thing. Yeah.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're going through a similar
Not
thing.
That I'm
what
I've tapped into that culture. Yeah.
From what I've read about, they're going through a similar thing to what the gay culture went through, because they're already like outsiders.
Mm.
So, and they're already, you know, they're already looked down upon. So they're just taking drugs to feel better.
Did you read the story? I don't know how many weeks ago it was, but it was. I know it was Canada. I want to say Vancouver. Was it Vancouver? Okay,
I saw.
There was a furries convention at a hotel, and it also happened to be after they were already there. This hotel took in a bunch of Syrian refugee children, and I just loved that. That just made me so happy.
Like,
it's like
the hotel was like, "Hey, there might be a big culture shock here," and the furries were like, "Fuck no, we got this."
Yeah, we're
big cartoon characters. Yes. We know what to do.
And the kids were thrilled and happy.
It was beautiful.
I thought that was magnificent.
But could you imagine being a 4-year-old coming into the United States and Canada, and this is your first experience?
This is the greatest.
America's amazing.
The rest of your life will be a disappointment.
This is also true.
You live in a hotel with cartoon characters, then we move south into America, you're getting the worst cartoon character ever. You're being run by a cartoon villain. What the fuck?
Another culture that this is happening in is the LGBT community.
Yeah. Yeah.
For some reason, my Instagram is full. I don't know what I like that Instagram. It's all, like, LGBT posts on my Instagram. But I read through it, and like, it's the same thing.
Is it a schism between, like, are they classing themselves or something?
Well, like, a lot of people, like, a lot of gay people don't believe in bisexuals.
Mm.
A lot of gay people discriminate against transsexuals.
They discriminate against drag queens still. Like,
that's becoming more like
drag queens mainstream. Is becoming more acceptable,
but it used to be like
the drag queens were,
because a drag queen is not drag queens trans.
The drag queens were seriously looked down upon in like the 60s and 70s until they caused that riot.
Stonewall.
When a drag queen was responsible for the Stonewall incident, or fighting back in Stonewall, and I think that's when it started turning around for them, but
I don't think it was a drag queen. I think it was a
I thought it was a woman.
I thought it was a transsexual woman.
Yeah.
Was it? I thought it was a drag queen.
Because I remember when they made the movie, they totally downplayed
that. Then the trans community is like,
what the fuck?
Yeah, why are we being erased from the LGBT history?
And see, part of the problem is there's a huge section of, I think it's partially generational, partially cultural, that doesn't understand the difference between transgender, drag queens, gay.
Mm-hmm. 25% of my posts on Instagram are like charts and like descriptions explaining like everything, like right. gender, sex, orientation, oh. like
right. And I understand that they want to feel understood, mm-hmm. but there are some people that are just like beyond having fucks to give about it.
Right.
They don't care. I don't care what you call yourself. I understand what I think you are. Not that it matters.
Give me the appropriate pronoun. Right. And I'll go from there.
And see, those people don't even care. Those people, there are people though that just don't even care. It's like, I'll call you what I think I should call you. If I'm wrong, whatever. You're calling me something you want to call me. It's not how I identify myself. I mean, until, what, about 3 years ago, I'd never heard the term cis.
Cisgendered.
Right, yeah.
Cisgendered. And it's like, wait a minute. Like one of the problems I had when I first heard it, it's, wait a minute. I can't identify what I think you are, but you have a word that I don't use to identify me?
Yeah.
And it's...
It's a classification system.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You
know? Yeah. And that's a problem.
Also, there's like this huge influx of people trying to be ultra-specific with their orientations. I'm trying to find another.
Yeah.
Like there's...
And I think that's
there's
in essence what...
Asexual, pansexual, demisexual,
mm-hmm. I saw that list.
Yeah.
I've seen a list like that.
See, and people are getting like...
When you get into that, it gets more difficult for me because I can't keep it all straight. But I don't really care to know.
But I'm bum.
You are on fire tonight.
Alex can't keep it straight.
I can't keep it straight. I just, sometimes I look at my stove and I come and I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? I'm pretty sure I am ripping somebody off with that. I don't know who it is, though.
That's weird. I don't like that.
I mean, I have no issue at all, like with pansexual and asexual. If someone needs to dig that deep to understand their own self,
right.
That's fine.
Right.
But it's, you know, just like you were saying, it's the forcing that on everyone else. Well, I've gone 7 layers deep to find exactly who I am. Now within this 7th layer, now everyone else needs to figure it out. I'm me. That's it.
That's where I'm kind of struggling with it now.
I'm a shit ton of different things, and every day that might change. But I'm me, and that's it.
And that's what I'm kind of struggling with it now, because another thing is people pushing, well, if you identify as this one day and this another day, you know, that's fine. Like, it can change. And I'm like, I completely understand that. But if you feel so fluid, why are you defining it?
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's where we should be moving, like, mm-hmm. is not... defining it. Like,
I am a Tony Mast. There are a few of us out there, but you know, that's all I got.
One of them's a plumber.
I'm an Alex.
But I do understand because the majority of people are heteronormative, you know, like, but I don't know.
I like how that's become a pejorative too.
Yeah, heteronormative.
Heteronormative has become a negative label. Yeah. And it's weird.
Well,
but I can see, I mean, there, I understand. I kind of understand.
It's to me that label implies something the same as it tastes like English food.
Yeah.
It's just really bland and boring.
Right. I mean, it's the same. It's the same problem. I have the same problem with that term as when I hear geeks use the term mundanes when they refer to people.
Mundane?
Out, mm-hmm.
I've never heard that.
Well, I think it's used as a pejorative
It's very much in the con culture.
To mean like an oppressor. Heteronormative is seen as like an oppressive label.
Right. When the words aren't defined that way.
Right.
and mundane in and of itself, mundane is not a negative thing, but the connotation is heavily implied as a negative.
Right.
That they're not, they don't follow any genre. They don't follow.
Like you're not geek enough to be geek, basically.
You are not geek at all.
Oh, okay.
You are a beer swilling, you know, a Bud Light swilling, sports ball watching, Merkin. Which is exactly how they'll describe those people. And it's sad because
you
it's
know
like,
what? I like you're, Bud Light. People like that. I like Bud Light and baseball.
Yeah, you feel oppressed, so you're trying to neg them to make yourself feel better.
Yep.
And I kind of get the same feeling from the term heteronormative. Mm-hmm. It's like, I understand that you're trying to empower yourself by not wanting to feel oppressed, but at the same time, negging someone in that process is not helpful.
Because in the end, you're doing what hurt you.
I mean, another part of it, which isn't necessarily negative, is I love these discussions we get into. is that heteronormative is seen as privileged,
right?
Which is true.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to feel the need to explain yourself.
Right, as someone who's heteronormative.
Yeah, I'm married to my wife.
She's a beard, Tony. It's totally.
Stop it. Stop telling secrets, Alex.
She's a beard. You got two cover children. I know.
The ruse has worked thus far. Let it
ride. In another 20 years.
Let it ride, Alex.
Come out of the closet.
But yeah, I mean, I don't ever have to explain that.
And you're not in danger, you know, when you go out.
No,
you know,
I'm not.
So
you're not in danger when you go out. People still ask, like, about someone's wife or husband, assuming that they're attracted to the opposite sex always. You never have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
We're always going to, like, no matter what the subject, we as humans, we're always going to be struggling somehow with each other.
Right.
I think that that's just true.
Yeah, and a lot of it has to do with struggling with ourselves too.
Right.
You know, I mean, as somebody who is not small, I've had to struggle with, you know, trying to fit into clothes that don't fit, mm-hmm. trying to ride a ride or sit in a
booth at a restaurant.
You, like, something is okay or something's not okay. So even if you feel a different way, you suppress it. Because society tells you it's wrong.
Right.
So it's hard. There's a lot of that, like, in the body positive movement, where I know all these things, you know, are true. Like, I don't judge people for their bodies, and like I think like all these different bodies are beautiful. Like, I see everyone as a different way, but I can't like internalize that for some reason.
Right.
I can't. Like, I still like judge myself so harshly when I do not put those judgments on other people.
Sing it, sister.
You know what I mean?
My, like, to this day, if I get on a ride at an amusement park and I can't strap in and I have to get off that ride, the shame and embarrassment is oppressive.
That's happened to me
It's happened to me a few times.
Yeah. And I just get to the point where I look at it and I say, I'm not even going to try because I'm fairly positive it's not going to work, and I don't want to have to get back up. So
yeah, I mean, I've lost 60 pounds and still can't ride some rides. So before it was much worse. Like before, I absolutely refused to go to Six Flags.
Just flat out
refused. No, I am not going. It is not fun for me.
Right.
To sit on the sidelines and watch everyone else ride the rides is not fun. I get zero enjoyment out of that.
Right.
And I've lost some weight, so I've learned what I can ride, and I learned which ones to avoid. But it's still, I mean, there's still an uncomfortableness with it.
I think last year, not last year, but the year before, the last time I flew in to Archon from Florida, I think it was Southwest, because those were the tickets that Melina got me.
Mm.
And for whatever, you know, that particular airline, because I'm one of the few, you know, I still have some issues, but I have no problem getting on a plane. And as soon as I get on the plane, asking for an extender belt.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a lot easier to ask. And that's the other thing. It's a lot easier to ask as soon as I'm walking in than to have to try and get their attention.
Right.
But I always want a window seat, and I
pull myself into that wall as much as humanly possible, because I don't, I will still have people who sit in the center seat and, you know, just give me looks, give me death stares. So,
well, that goes, I mean, that's almost an exact story that Nicole Arbour told. You guys, do you know who Nicole Arbour is?
Oh, I know who exactly who she is.
Dear Fat People video.
Yeah.
She's a disgusting human being.
She is.
Dear gross person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dear person. I mean, I'm ashamed to share DNA with.
I mean, and there have been times I've spent entire flights like this.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I will make myself as, and I will put myself in pain and make myself uncomfortable because I don't want.
Going to professional sporting events is terrible.
Yeah. And you know what? A lot of the, in Boston, a lot of the theaters, these are theaters that were built in the 1800s.
Oh, yeah.
Your seats are this big, and I'm holding up a little plastic plate.
People were only 5 feet tall back then.
Yep.
And they were all starving to death.
I remember, and this was, I don't remember the year. It was, might have been, I want to say 91. It was the Penn and Teller refrigerator tour. And the theater that it was in was so small that the armrests that didn't move because it was, you know, I left that place with not even bruises. They had gone to black from sitting there for 2.5 hours these armrests. And I was not even this big back. I've always been big. I wasn't this big then. Just cutting into my thighs. Like my friend's boyfriend had to, because I was like, they were sticking into me so bad, he literally had to, like, give me a yank to get out of the seat.
Yeah.
Because they were just...
And, you know, as horrible as any of this is...
And I will not never say a word. Yeah. I will sit there and take it for as many hours as I have to.
As horrible as any of this is, I don't blame anybody else for that. I don't blame the size of the seats. I'm bigger than normal.
I would blame anybody for, like, being pissed off or judging you, though. Like, I've heard people who, who was it?
But I don't know that anybody really judges me so much as that I internalize it and I feel it, whether it's really happening or not.
There was some celebrity recently who booked a flight and, I can't remember who it was. Was it Mark Cuban? I can't remember who it was, but they're like, you have to purchase another seat or get out.
No, it
wasn't Mark Cuban.
No, it wasn't.
Kevin Smith a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, I talked about this beforehand, so this wouldn't, and you told me it was okay. And like, he was like super pissed off about it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what always pissed me off about that particular thing? Because there was one time that it was I was flying wherever, and it was discussed. They'll make you buy two seats, but you don't get two seats. There's still someone sitting next to you.
That's bullshit.
And that was my argument at the time.
If I'm getting two seats,
I'm getting two motherfucking seats. Yeah. I'm getting two goddamn seats.
I don't have the width problem when I get on a plane. I have the fucking leg problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have to sit with my ass as far back in the seat as possible, my knees are still hitting the seat in front of me.
Yep.
And God help you if the person in front of you decides to lean back.
Oh, yeah.
Which I almost never do because it's like, even though I may be, sometimes I luck out and that center seat is empty. So I'm not touching the other.
When that happens, then I'm like, I rotate like 30 degrees.
Well, I pull the arm up and I was like, I get a little bit of a spread going, but I also rarely, if ever, I don't like to push the seat back unless there's no one behind me. Just because...
I'll push the seat back and then just ask if it's bothering them. I don't mind doing it because some people don't care.
And
if they do, well, I'll move it back.
Southwest hasn't been a problem for me, but like there were a few times where I flew like American and their seats are like straight up. And like I need to angle it back a couple of times. But usually Southwest is like tilted back slightly.
No lie, I saw a picture. It was today or yesterday on Facebook. Somebody I know, a person they were flying with, the person in front of them had really long hair and was draping it over the back of their seat, and it was covering their screen. Like there was
what do you do?
Yeah, it was like, so how do you handle this situation? It was interesting reading the remarks. And it was just like this person's hair was just draped across the back of the seat.
I would have to say something. Yeah. But at that point, that's.
I mean, you can't just.
I would have probably tied it to something.
No, I'm not going to touch their hair.
Yeah, like
I'm not going to touch them. Just say, listen, what?
Yeah. I would just say, they may not have been aware.
Right.
You know, some Sometimes, you know that screen you're looking at?
I got one of those too.
Yeah. sometimes the slights we feel are not intentional.
Right.
Yeah.
As hard as that is for some people to believe.
Well, no, honestly, the only time anyone ever said anything to me on a flight, and I don't, it was probably one of the back to forth Boston, California flights. I had a window seat as I, also because I take Dramamine and I will sleep 90% of the flight. So having a window seat means I can lean up against the wall and just be knocked
out. Lean against it, drool as much as you want.
Well, and you know, there was one time I had a middle seat because it's all there was. And I had the Dramamine. My ears hadn't popped. So it was like I was deaf. There was a medical emergency and there happened to be a doctor in the window seat next to me. But I was half asleep and couldn't hear anything. But I was, you know, kind of sitting with my eyes closed. And I couldn't hear what was going on. What woke me up was he crawled over me. Because I couldn't hear anyone saying, can you move? Nobody touched me to do it. Yeah. So this way, if I'm in a window, I can just kind of get in there. One time there was just like a grandmotherly aged woman who, you know, they mean well. And for the entire flight, however, 2.5, 3 hours, proceeded to tell me everything I was doing wrong with my diet.
God.
And it's like, oh, you're 100. I just have to let you do this. She meant well, so I just kind of nod.
Do you get away with it?
Yeah. Do you need to know how the pillow goes over your face to suffocate yourself at night?
Give her the Anson and Scalia treatment. Just
too soon.
Too soon. No. The joke is that wasn't a murder, but there's a conspiracy theory that it is.
Oh, absolutely. My brother believes it, of course.
Oh my God!
What?
He's also an avid Trump supporter.
Okay. Anson and Scalia has like battled with heart attacks and fucking diabetes and everything. Like that was not a surprise.
If you're a big dude that lives that long, yeah, things happen.
Anybody that makes it to 80, like when you hit 80, every day is a fucking D20 roll.
Yeah.
I woke up. Yes.
I remember seeing what's actually funny is I remember seeing a study 10, 15 years ago that basically said my body type and your body type, if we were the same age and when we hit 60 and at these same body types, I have a longer life expectancy than you do.
Probably.
I think it was 60 or 65 because basically if you're still alive – and the heart disease and whatever else hasn't killed you.
Hasn't taken you.
You start losing weight. You start losing body mass.
Well, you start losing bone mass, too.
And bone mass. But you start losing body mass.
A big body can afford it.
A big body can afford to lose the weight, where a smaller frame just starts wilting away.
My family has like written the book on heart disease. So going vegetarian is another nice bonus, because hopefully that's just another check that I can dodge.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, did I tell you guys my grandpa had another small heart attack in January?
No.
Yeah. He had a heart attack like New Year's Eve, and then like on January 3rd, I found out about it. And they're like, we didn't want to bother you. We didn't think it was that big of a deal. But he had a fucking heart attack again. But it's like his third or fourth one.
Eh.
So at this point, he's like, I don't know what's going on.
Where are you when he gets to 7?
Right. Yeah. He's like, I don't know what's going on. This one was a small one compared to the last one.
It's fine.
They only had to put a stint in. The last one was like a triple bypass or some shit. So,
that stints, those are no big deal.
Oh my God. Stop eating red meat. It tastes good. Yeah.
It does. It does.
Ugh. All right. We're over 2 hours at this point, so
wow.
I'm going to call this done. Next week, hard candy.
Excited.
Night, y'all.